Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 665. And this is gonna be a Zenas one! Haven't heard Zenas ones in a little bit. You know, I kind of sprinkle them in occasionally just when things come up. Let me say again, if you haven't gone back to the archives, I believe this is in the first archive, which is where I really kind of set down exactly what Zenas was. I don't think I've changed particularly on this thing. But I did come back to say that I think one of the big hallmarks of being a Zenas is being obsessed, obsessive. Now, in our culture, in our society, where I live in the United States, being obsessive, and I think this is true in most places, evil doesn't like obsession unless it can twist it into being obsessive about doing evil things. In our culture and society's great fear of obsession, most of the great world leaders were obsessed. Most of those who accomplished things over the long haul, whether good or bad, have been somewhat obsessed. And if there's a gene for obsession, I have it. And I'm passing it on to my poor children, at least the majority of them. Some of them have it worse than others. And I'm here to tell you that obsession turn toward good is very, very good. Now, obsession turned to evil is very, very, very evil. You know, you can say, who are some of your obsessed people? And you can start naming off people that you think were obsessed. You know, Adolf Hitler was most likely obsessed with things, certain things. Most of them of an evil variety. And so I think it's just a fear of the potential of obsession running to evil makes it so that everybody wants to treat it as a disease. As soon as you see it, the most important thing is to try to kill it, either through therapy or through drugs, you know. I guess shock therapy is another thing that they sometimes use it for, so that your body will physically do revulsion when you are thinking about your obsession, whatever that obsession is. I think it also comes from the fact that most people think that whatever obsesses you is out of control. You know, obsession equals uncontrolled. Uncontrolled means that you just kind of, that you don't have any strong feelings about anything. Now, it's not considered proper to say obsession means you have strong feelings. But I think it does. Every single person I saw that really had strong feelings and would really go the distance for an idea or a cause or things like that, they were obsessed. You know, and most people say, no, you're not supposed to do that. You know, you might feel a certain way, but you're really not supposed to be getting weird about it. Nobody's, you know, you're not supposed to offend anybody. Everybody in the opposite camp from you shouldn't feel threatened by the fact that you're here not supporting them. You know, we're supposed to all have a nice, wonderful little chat, and nobody's supposed to change their minds, and nothing's really supposed to get done, you know. I think that almost sounds like what most people want everyone to behave like. Don't get weird about this stuff. You're getting obsessed. Stop it. You know, it's like, wait. Good obsessions, I think, are vitally important. Vitally important. Otherwise, you won't have good things happen. You can think about Gandhi, for instance, and his obsession for Indian autonomy, perhaps, Indian independence, and how this grew up over time, and how passionate he was. That's one thing I can always say about obsessed people, zenith people. Their passion. Manifested through obsession. They just can't let it go. They just can't give it up. Excuse me, yawning. And a good obsession, that's great. I have a theory, and I think it's true in my life, that people can steer their obsessions. I'm not talking about controlling, because controlling in most of the popular vernacular means that you aren't going to be obsessed. Controlled people, you know, are very low-key, you know. They talk about what they think, but then they give the other people their say, and we have a very cordial, congenial conversation about it, and nothing ever becomes of any of it, you know. Because it's true, there's this movie that I really like. It's called Amazing Grace, and it's all about the British slave trade and how some guy was just adamant about getting rid of it. He was obsessed. That was his obsession. And, you know, the biggest thing he got thrown at him often enough was that he wasn't sensible. He wasn't able to see the other side and how the other side felt about it and moderate himself. He didn't do that. And so he was constantly being, you know, I don't know if people were trying to kill him, but he was constantly trying to be outdone by the people from the other side. And of course, when he was obsessed with what he was trying to do, he tended to draw out the evil of the other side and to reveal the cankerous, slimy underbelly of that. And only a person who is obsessed would have done that. Another person would have been respectful of those people and tried not to make them look bad or feel bad, you know. Would have been moderate, you know, might have brought up every year, well, we should get rid of the slave trade because it's evil, and they all go, nah, and then you sit back down and you wouldn't bring it up again for another year. And this guy became part of a group of very passionate, very obsessed people about getting rid of this. And these were not perfect people, of course, you know. Sometimes their integrity was questionable. Of course, this is politics, so, you know, everything gets a little muddied up when there's politics involved. Good things don't happen without spraying a lot of mud everywhere. And nothing happens unless a lot of mud gets sprayed everywhere. Oh, anyway, so I The British slave trade, I don't know if it would have continued up until this day. I don't know. I think it was basically on the way out anyway. But it was made all the more poignant and all the more that we're never going to do this kind of stuff again because it's wrong. Because of an obsessed person. And he could make that... He could do those things that regular people really don't care enough about. You know, regular people will more likely than not say things like, well, you know, I need to feed my family, and if my family... You know, if it's easier to feed my family to have slaves in Britain, then I'm not going to necessarily fight slavery. You know, I can say, oh, it's terrible and I wish it didn't happen, but it's like, I'm not going to do anything about it. Because that's dangerous. That's going out on a limb. And I'm getting to the point where all of my training is going for naught in trying not to make too many waves. And I'm about to, and I'm getting to the point where I'm going to say to myself, I don't care. Let's make some waves. Let's cause some problems for people. You know, let's constantly throw up in their faces how hypocritical what they're saying is. Not to say that they're wrong, but to say that what they're standing for is wrong. And they need to change their perspective. Don't support wrong things because certain powerful groups profit off of wrong. Like I was saying before about the Racino in the last episode. Too often we have people that just do that. You know, well, I'm not going to get involved and... You know, it might be a good thing if the Racino goes through and we can get all, you know, you can increase your tax base or you can, or it might bring new businesses to town and attract more tourists to come to, to come to this place. That's better. Okay, sorry, I was moving something around in the car that was just making me nuts. I know our culture decries obsession. We have several disorders around obsession, as if this is the wrong way to be. It's more important that people just go to work every day, do what the their overlords tell them, and that they might, you know, and that they'll find happiness through hard labor and doing what they're told. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that all of us are small people, and we're all pawns in a much larger game. You know, I'm not one of those people that says, I will never be a pawn, I will not be acted upon, I will not, you know, I am independent. And you go, well, you know what? No, you're not. You're not independent. Almost can't be. In fact, just can't be, period. There is no almost to it. The question isn't, are you going to be a pawn or not? The question is, who are you going to be a pawn of? I prefer God over evil, Satan, the devil. I prefer God over that. But come to find out that most of the people around me don't. They like to live with an illusion that they're not a pawn of anybody. And it's like, well, you know, you can think that, but as soon as you think that, you're going to start acting, and you're going to find yourself manipulated. God doesn't tend to manipulate. although he does tend to influence, Satan tends to manipulate. You know, there is no freedom except through being obedient to God. He offers freedom. Satan screams about, you must be free, but then he knows that he can twist you into using what you call as freedom to enslave yourself to him. And he gets to have the fun of saying, you asked for this. You wanted this. You wanted this so bad. And now you're mine. And, you know, you feel betrayed. You feel like that. And that's Satan. That's Satan right there in a nutshell, maybe. It's that simple. So, here's the dummy. The sheriff's department puts a car in a little town here to try to get people to slow down, and they put a dummy in the car to kind of trick you into thinking that there's somebody in there, and that if you're going too fast, you'll get caught. And I find that really funny and interesting. Anyway, I don't think I have anything else to say besides being Zenith is not a bad thing. And that was the whole point of coming up with Zenith in the first place. Out of autism, out of ADHD, out of OCD, out of all these things that tend to have a lot of stuff in common. A lot of stuff in common. And the one thing that all these things have in common is an unnatural obsession. In the old days, they would call you a crazed lunatic. You know, ADHD people just have too much energy, and we can't deal with that. We can't deal with how much energy they have, and we refuse to put them into circumstances where they can use that energy productively for good things. No, we have to do as much as we can to try to get them down to being sedate. We need to sedate them. Sedated, like, on drugs. You know, you don't want OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, people, because, you know, they might hurt themselves. They might hurt themselves. I guess that's true of all these things. You can always appeal to the fact that these people are going to hurt themselves because they just won't stay in line. They won't do what the authority tells them to do. They won't do it. And, you know, honestly, yuck, pooey. So that's why I came up with Zenith. I'm saying that this can be a good attribute. Good can come of having this because of the basic idea that you can actually steer your obsessions. Instead of trying to get rid of them or to ignore them and try to fight against them, just try to steer them. Steer them to something good. Why don't you be obsessed about something good? And trust me, God will be on your side. Good people will be supportive. Now, they may not be able to be as supportive of it as you can, because most people aren't obsessed. Most people want to go home at night, kick up their heels, turn on the TV, and just kind of veg out. Most people want to do that. Most people are not obsessed. But then again, other people are. And I'm one of those. And so I put that new name to it, Zenith, and how that thing goes. We'll call it whatever we want to, the Zenith Obsession, whatever. And I will continue to talk about my obsessions as I can. This is Jay Nimro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 665. The contact email address is autism, A-U-T-I-S-M, at quix.us. And thank you for listening to The Life Autistic. I'm Jay Nimro. Have a nice day.